Did Don Draper really buy the world a Coke? Did Tony Soprano really die or just order more onion rings? The finales of our favorite shows can make us argue, make us cry, and make us crazy. From Spotify and The Ringer, I'm Andy Greenwald, and this is Stick the Landing, a new podcast where we'll be telling the story of modern TV backwards, one fade out at a time. Find Stick the Landing on Wednesdays on the Prestige TV feed, on Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com. This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
From Spotify and The Ringer, this is Dissect, long-form musical analysis broken into short, digestible episodes. This is episode 2 of our season-long dissection of MF Doom. I'm your host, Cole Kushner. Last time on Dissect, we recounted the early history of Daniel Dumoulin, from the early success of KMD, the sudden death of his brother and creative partner Sub Rock, and Elektra Records' decision to scrap KMD's second project and drop Daniel from the label. After being exiled by the music industry, Daniel retreated from the public eye, reemerging years later with a new name, a new sound, and a new independent record label.
It go like, I hold mics, like niggas hold their girls tight, but I ain't at the hub, probably your Acura Pearl White, the hook or not.
MF Doom's Dead Bent single, released in May of 1997, marked Daniel's official return to rap. Over the next few years, Doom released two more singles with the indie label Fondulum Records, freestyled on Stretch and Bobbito's influential New York radio show, and made his live debut at the New Yorican Poets Cafe. And while these initial gestures provided glimpses of Daniel's new character, it wouldn't be until the fall of 1999, 5 years after disappearing, that the supervillain MF Doom would finally deploy his plan to destroy rap, a plan he dubbed Operation Doomsday.
He cleans his metal mask with gasoline, then after him, last scene, pull a chick like a fiend, pull a fast one. Hey, yo, yo, y'all can't stand right here. In his right hand was your man's worst nightmare. I re-up on bad dreams, back up screams in 50s, re-up on mad schemes that heat shot like Jiffy Pop.
MF Doom's debut album, Operation Doomsday, was released October 19, 1999. Produced in full by Dumoulin himself, the album's raw blend of thematically rich sound collages, virtuosic lyricism, and Doom's idiosyncratic delivery operates as Daniel Dumoulin's explosive creative moment, when artistry, skill, technique, theatrics, and style come together to present one of the most unique, revolutionary characters in all of hip-hop. The triumph of Operation Doomsday is made more impressive with the knowledge that Daniel, broke and no longer backed by a major label, executed this vision with nearly zero resources. Doom would later remark how this became a full circle moment, bringing him back to the more DIY, resourceful mentality he had before his record deal.
It's almost like how everything was before we started getting into the whole record, I mean professionally into the game. Back to being a civilian, you know, so to say, where you no longer, you don't have a deal, so it's like you got to figure out ways to make ends meet, you know, but still doing music, you know what I'm saying, just like before we had the deal. It wasn't like unfamiliar, you know what I mean?
According to Stretch Armstrong, one half of the Stretch and Bobbito radio show, the majority of Operation Doomsday was recorded at his apartment over a 3-week period using Stretch's MPC beat machine. DJ Ayers, who interviewed Doom shortly before the album released, also recounted, quote, "Doom told me the way he recorded the solo songs on Doomsday. He sequenced the beats entirely inside the MPC. Then he would hit play and record himself rapping the song live in one take. And that was it. No stems, no mixing. If he fucked up, he rewound the DAT and started from the top," unquote. Given the lyrical and rhythmic complexity of Doom's raps, recording entire songs in one take is pretty remarkable, and something that's rarely done in hip-hop. The resulting sound is closer to a radio freestyle, giving Doomsday an unmistakably raw, unpolished sound. According to Doom, this rawness was not just a result of his limited resources. The imperfections were part of an aesthetic philosophy meant to contrast the highly produced sheen of commercial rap at the time.
I think the one thing that differs is the recording techniques and recording styles. Like, they grew up probably listening to the same things we grew up listening to, except their production methods and the direction they wanted to go in. It's like a polished sound. You could tell by how it sounds, like a certain goal, like as far as sonically and, you know, selling records wise too, to make it a more pretty product, you know what I'm saying? Where, you know, we might be using the same sources, the same references, but I'm keeping it to where it's like, yo, it's vinyl. That shit might have dust on it. It might have crackles in it. I can't get the CD, so I'm going to still make the beat. I'm going to use the one I first made. You know, I'm going to use the first set of vocals. I had a plug-in mic that wasn't maybe the best mic, but that's how I did the vocals, and that's how, you know, I'm keeping it rugged. You know what I'm saying?
Big up all the Monster Allen masses, and beware before I triple dare you like the last kid. Who asked me what we don't got that you got, son, for one flow that's...
While the actual recording of Operation Doomsday may have been haphazard, Daniel's creative vision for the album was anything but. He told DJ Ayers, quote, "It took me 5 years of research and putting it together to form the plan, because this is going to break the shit," unquote. Here we feel the disruptive synergy between Daniel and MF Doom, with Daniel's plot to break the shit or destroying the rap world mirroring the classic villain's trope of plotting global destruction.
When this reporter, babe, get here, she gonna be on our tip, man. You know she gonna wanna write about me and my man here, all kind of long articles.
Flash message, top secret, ultra.
Yeah, and when she does, and she puts this picture on paper, that's gonna be the end secret exposed, his face, for everyone to see, man. That's the whack.
The meticulousness of Daniel's 5 years of planning is present from the very opening moments of Operation Doomsday. It starts with The Time We Face Doom, an audio collage that strategically uses samples to begin telling MF Doom's origin story. The first thing we hear is a sample of the theme music for the 1960s Fantastic Four cartoon show. This theme music becomes the score behind a conversation lifted from the movie Wild Style. Released in 1983, Wild Style is a classic, influential, low-budget film that centered New York's emerging hip-hop culture. Shot on location in the Bronx and starring real-life graffiti artists, breakdancers, and rappers, the film's protagonist is a teen named Raymond, a celebrated underground graffiti artist that paints under the anonymous pseudonym Zorro. Raymond despises a group of graffiti artists known as the Union Crew, who have revealed their identities and now paint legal commissioned murals. Raymond's art eventually attracts the attention of a local journalist who wants to feature him in an upcoming article, including his name and photograph. The Wild Style scene sampled at the start of Operation Doomsday finds Raymond and two friends debating if he should go through with the interview and reveal his identity. One friend promotes the fame and financial opportunities that may come from it. The other friend calls revealing his identity whack. Raymond is thus forced to decide whether to stay true to his underground roots or go commercial like the Union Crew.
Secret of Zorro exposed, his face for everyone to see, man. That's the whack, you know?
Yo, man, what the fuck you talk about, man? Let's go get my man big fame, man. Cash money too,
yo,
man.
Yo, but what about money? Yeah.
Daniel's choice to repurpose this conversation, scored with cartoon theme music at the start of Operation Doomsday, is nothing short of brilliant, as it encompasses the fictional origin story of MF Doom, as well as the real-life origin story of Daniel Dumoulin. Wild Style portrays the very emerging hip-hop culture that Daniel and his brother were enamored with as kids growing up in New York, and the film's focus on graffiti artists reminds us that KMD began as a graffiti crew at this same time. Meanwhile, Raymond's debate between staying underground or going commercial intentionally reflects the division in hip-hop at the time of Doomsday's release in 1999. Because this division is debated through a question of whether to remain anonymous or not, Daniel's own anonymity is presented as a conscious rejection of commercialized rap, which then becomes the real-world philosophical motivation behind MF Doom's theatrical plot to destroy the rap world. And if all that wasn't enough, there's also the detail that Raymond's graffiti pseudonym Zorro is a masked character like Doom, and both Daniel and Raymond choosing masked alter egos reflects their real-world decision to remain anonymous artists. After the Wildstyle conversation plays out, the Time We Face Doom continues with samples once again pulled from the 60s Fantastic Four cartoon series.
What's on your evil mind?
Hold your insulting tongue and mark my words well. I have plotted my revenge on you. Now I shall have it. Bid farewell to your friends.
Doom hates us all.
The dialogue we hear is sampled from the Fantastic Four episode titled The Way It All Began, a title Daniel is no doubt repurposing for MF Doom's own origin story, The Way It All Began for Doom. We hear directly from Marvel's masked supervillain Dr. Doom, who vows revenge on Mr. Fantastic, leader of the Fantastic Four. Daniel's love of comics and cartoons dates back to his childhood, when he became enamored with the Marvel Universe in elementary school.
That's when the comic book phase was in. That's when we really was collecting comics.
So what comic books were you getting to? Obviously, Dr. Doom.
Well, not only that one particularly, but I'm like, it was the whole Marvel universe.
Yeah.
Was our shit, Marvel universe straight up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Definitely. Thanos, all the ill villains, all the dope shit, all the spin-offs and everything, into the stories and storylines. Yeah, the whole Marvel universe, the way they designed it. Everything played a part in everything,
So
I appreciate the writing. I think a lot of my writing came as far as like influence on the range of shit that I would deal with.
Yeah.
Which came from just reading that type of stuff and seeing how far they went with it. Like, you know, there's so many different personalities and they show both sides of each character.
Yeah.
Which shows the duality. You know, when you learn that duality while you're young, it's good. Positive and negative both need to exist.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, neither one is better than the other one. It's just a matter of, you know, that's just Earth, the way it works here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the sooner you learn that, the better. Yeah, so that's what that shit imprinted on me. But I'm like, yo, the whole Doom shit came into play when, I mean, I always had that in the back of my mind. Oh, Dr. Doom, wow.
Yeah.
They call me Doom, too.
Yeah.
I could always relate to that character a little. I liked him. He was ill.
Yeah.
He always come through and he'll disappear. It seemed like they killed him, but he always comes back.
On The Way It All Began, Dr. Doom's basic origin story is revealed for the first time. Before his villainous transformation, Victor Von Doom was a college student working on an elaborate experiment. He meets the future Mr. Fantastic, Richard Reed, who notices some of the experiment's equations are wrong and warns Doom that they'll lead to a dangerous outcome. Doom ignores his warning, and his experiment blows up, disfiguring his face. Doom is expelled from college and for years disappears into the Himalayan mountains, where he masters black magic. He constructs a metal costume and mask and vows to use his powers to take over the world and exact personal revenge on Reed, who he believes tampered with his experiment and is responsible for his disfigurement. Dr. Doom's origin story from The Way It All Began is broken up into parts and dispersed throughout the 6 skits on Operation Doomsday. In this way, Dr. Doom's backstory is interpolated and repurposed as MF Doom's own. Like Wildstyle, there are clear parallels between the two. Daniel's expulsion from the music industry mirrors Dr. Doom's expulsion from college. And while Dr. Doom's accident left him physically scarred, the accidental death of his brother left Daniel emotionally scarred. Subsequently, both Daniel and Doom disappeared for years, honing their respective crafts, reinventing themselves, only to return behind a mask with a master plan to destroy the world that betrayed them. For Dr. Doom, it was the actual world. For Daniel's Doom, it was the world of rap.
Mic check.
After Operation Doomsday's opening skit, the album launches into its title track, Doomsday. The foundation of the track is sampled from the outro of Sade's 1992 song, Kiss of Life. Four bars of this instrumental outro are slowed down slightly, creating the central loop for the entire track. This Sade loop is eventually joined by two others, both of which are lifted from Boogie Down Productions' 1987 song, Poetry. This opening drum beat is sampled and looped in time with the Sade sample, supporting the percussion already present in that track. Doom also samples some record scratching from poetry, adding a layer of chaos and flavor to the otherwise smooth and harmonious Sade loop. Now, aside from the Sade and Boogie Down samples working together seamlessly from a musical perspective, it appears that, like the time we face Doom, Daniel also chose them for their symbolic implications. Most obviously, The Kiss of Life is chosen as the basis for MF Doom's Moment of Birth, the opening song on his debut album being the literal kiss of Doom's life. Kiss of Life is also an idiom used to describe someone being brought back from the brink of despair, finding hope in someone or something in times of darkness. We might then consider MF Doom and Operation Doomsday Daniel Dumoulin's Kiss of Life, the creative concept that offered him direction, purpose, and solace in his own time of darkness.
Music is really what, now that I think back to it, music and having equipment and always just finding a way to, a place that you could just play your music and do your thing, whether it's my aunt's basement or, you know, wherever I could get something plugged in at, continue on. So now that I think about it, music was the thing that really kept us and kept me going through the whole thing.
It's in Daniel's focus on music in the wake of Sub Rock's passing that we find another symbolic link in Doomsday samples, as it just so happens that Boogie Down Productions was a major life influence for Daniel during this time. For those unfamiliar, Boogie Down Productions, or BDP, was a pioneering hip-hop group founded by KRS-One and DJ Scott LaRock. Tragically, just 5 months after their debut album released in 1987, Scott LaRock was murdered. KRS-One was then forced to decide a path forward after his partner's passing, a situation that mirrored Daniel's own some 6 years later. Doom told The Wire that, quote, "The goals that me and my brother set, they still had to be met. It was up to me. You know what it reminded me of? We was big Boogie Down production fans back in the day. When that thing happened to Scott LaRock, God bless, it was kind of like a prerequisite to this. When that happened, automatically we thought of ourselves in those shoes. If the same thing was to happen to one of us, what would we do? We saw how KRS-One handled that situation. He could have quit. We didn't know what he was going to do. Then he came with the album By All Means Necessary. So that showed us what to do in that situation. You persevere. You keep going. You strive and you do it," unquote. Understanding BDP's importance in Daniel's path forward, it's hard to believe their presence on Doomsday is simply coincidence. Specifically, it's BDP's drums that are sampled, the propelling force of a track that keeps things moving forward, just as KRS helped Daniel move forward. Moreover, the BDP samples are lifted from the song Poetry, which is the first song on BDP's first album. Now they are featured in the first song on MF Doom's first album, which is itself the result of the inspiration that Boogie Down and KRS provided Daniel. In this way, Boogie Down's pairing with The Kiss of Life, symbolic of restoration and new beginnings, is harmonious not just musically, but equally harmonious conceptually. Between The Time We Face Doom and the opening moments of Doomsday, we are witnessing the results of Daniel's meticulous 5 years of planning and research. From the very start, it's clear he's modeled Doom's universe after Marvel's, where everything is connected to everything. Indeed, before MF Doom has rapped even a single bar, Daniel Dumoulin, the artistic authorial mastermind, has already said so much. Welcome back to Dissect. Before the break, we revealed how Doomsday's strategic samples not only provide the track's musical landscape, but also communicate crucial thematic information about the backstories of Daniel Dumoulin and MF Doom. As Doomsday continues, Pebbles the Invisible Girl enters the song to sing an interpolation of Sade's Kiss of Life. Let's first hear the original source, followed by Pebbles' interpolation. Pebbles the Invisible Girl seems to be singing on the behalf of us listeners, as she describes meeting Doom as if it were her destiny. "When I was led to you, I knew you were the one for me. I swear the whole world could feel you, MC." This last line is the only one that's altered from the original lyrics, as Sade sings, "I swear the whole world could feel your heartbeat." Here at the moment Doom receives the kiss of life, the heartbeat is transformed into a master of ceremonies, spawning the MC Doom himself. These opening moments are an honorific, placing Doom on a pedestal at global scale. Fate has led us to Doom, and now we're about to be enraptured. While Pebbles the Invisible Girl is featured here and on one other song on Operation Doomsday, she has apparently never appeared musically under the same name anywhere else. In fact, Doom claimed he didn't even know who she was.
She was the kind of singer that, all right, my man knew a girl who could sing. And again, I had to finish the record. So I'm like, yo, you got a girl who can sing? Yo, ask her, could she sing this part? And I'll write it or play a reference. And she's like, all right, I can sing it. I paid her like $25 or something, like as a session singer to come in and do it. And I don't know what she's doing now. I haven't seen her ever again. I don't think I even know her real name. It's kind of...
There's something poetic about an unknown force providing such a timeless moment of art. And of course, the anonymity of this invisible girl is in perfect thematic alignment with the ethos of Doom's universe.
I used to cop a lot, but never cop, no drop. Hold mics like ponytails tight and bobble ops. Stop, stick around, come through and dig the sound of the flop round 6060 cycle. Who throws a dick around? Bound to go three plat. Came to destroy rap. It's an intricate plot of a B-boy strap.
MF Doom's now iconic introductory couplet is densely packed with a suite of literary devices. I used to cop a lot, but never cop no drop. Hold mics like ponytails, tight and bob a lot. Line 1 contains an internal three-syllable rhyme of cop a lot and cop no drop, which is also used as the standard end rhyme in line 2, bob a lot. Cop in the most basic sense refers to obtaining something, but it's likely I used to cop a lot in this context means purchasing or stealing material goods. Never copping a drop refers to never buying or stealing a drop-top convertible. It seems to be an outright rejection of the kind of flashy materialism that often consumes commercial rap. We recall how MF Doom's mask and Daniel's anonymity were originally meant to emphasize his music over his image.
To me, from the musical aspect, hip-hop is one of the directions where it's like 100 or almost damn near 100% on everything besides the music, like what you look like, the sound of your name, to what you're wearing, the brand of clothing, whatever you... intoxicants you choose to put in your body, to, you know, things, everything except for what the music sounds like. So the mask is really a testament to, yo, it's not about none of that. It's straight about the wreck.
Doom's dedication to artistry and sound is reflected in his second line, I hold mics like ponytails, tight and bob a lot. Mics is, of course, short for microphones, meaning Doom is more focused on his rhymes than copping luxury cars. Tight here relates to the tight hair tie required to hold a ponytail in place, but also that he's tight on the mic, or that his tight grip of the mic is symbolic of his dedication and passion for rhyming. Bob-a-lot then refers to his head or his audience's heads bobbing up and down to his music. However, the line also contains an extended double entendre, as Doom plays off the phallic image of a microphone to boast about receiving oral sex. In this reading, holding the girl's ponytail is literal, and bob-a-lot refers to her head bobbing up and down. Doom continues rapping, stop and stick around, come through and dig the sound, of the fly brown 6-0 sicko psycho who throws his dick around. A new three-syllable rhyme is introduced here, stick around, dig the sound, the fly brown, and dick around. We also observe the relentless alliteration of stop, stick, sound, 6-0, sicko, and psycho. The call to dig the sound and stop and stick around encourages us to give the music more than a cursory glance. Unlike the material-centered commercial music of his foes, Doom's music rewards those who dig deep, like the gems we discovered when placing Doomsday's introductory skits and samples under a microscope. The physical description Fly Brown 6-0 Psycho feels appropriate in an introductory verse, just as the self-branding of Psycho feels right for a villain. Meanwhile, throwing his dick around crudely continues the villain's sexual boasts and formalizes the phallic illusions of stick and mics or microphone. Doom then declares, bound to go three plat, came to destroy rap. It's an intricate plot of a b-boy strapped. Invoking destiny and destruction simultaneously, the villain's physical description is followed by his mission statement. Three plat means triple platinum or 3 million records sold, speaking to Doom's destiny for global takeover. His plot to destroy rap appears to represent what Operation Doomsday is, the culmination of Daniel's 5-year plan meant to break the shit, to disrupt the current state of overly produced, superficial rap music. However, while here to destroy rap, Doom is rapping. It might seem contradictory, but Doom actually saw a difference between rap and hip-hop. He told LSD Magazine, quote, "We just have to draw a line between the rap shit and hip-hop. Rap is totally different than hip-hop. I mean, not knocking it, but in hip-hop there's rules that we go by. I don't want to name names, but the whole clique of them rappers, they ain't really no perfectionist lyricists. We go by what you say, not how loud you scream it. So as far as me and my team, we're into making the underground as big as the mainstream rap, but on some separate shit. The super motherfucking villain is the villain to that shit. The rap genre is gonna be hating me, unquote. This sentiment ties into the line, it's an intricate plot of a b-boy strapped. On his mission to carry out his intricate plot and destroy rap, the b-boy Doom comes strapped not with a gun, but with rhymes. As he later raps on the song Gas Draws, rhymes is chosen like the weapons of war.
It's an intricate plot of a b-boy strapped. Fem stack cats get kidnapped. Then release a statement to the press, let the rest know who did that. Metal fist terrorist, claim responsibility. Broken household name usually set in hostility. What is MF, you silly? I like to take men's to the end for 2 milli. Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo, that's an audio daily double. Rappers need to fall off just to save me the trouble. Yo, watch your own back, came in and go out alone, black. Stay in the zone, turn H2O to cognac.
Doom continues verse 1 rapping, Femstat cats get kidnapped, then release a statement to the press, let the rest know who did that. Again, the rhyme scheme here is impressively dense. We get the rapid rhyme of stat cats and kidnapped in the first line, another rapid rhyme of press, let, and rest in the second, and a return to the first rhyme did that to complete the couplet. Femstat is a cream used to treat vaginal yeast infections, so between this and the use of cats, Doom is calling inferior MCs pussies. After kidnapping them, Doom releases a press statement letting the world know he's responsible. This is a common trope for a villain, and is usually accompanied with a ransom demand or additional threats. Thus we get the following line, Metal Fist terrorists claim responsibility. Metal Fist here joins Metal Fingers and Metal Face as names that fulfill the MF acronym. He continues rapping, broken household name usually said in hostility. What is MF? You silly, I'd like to take men's to the end for 2 milli. Do-do-do-do-do, that's an audio daily double. It's a succession of free associative lyrics that are quintessentially Doom. We are suddenly thrusted into a game of Jeopardy, where trivia clues are phrased as answers, and contestants provide the question that identifies what the clue describes. Thus, broken household name usually said in hostility is the clue, and what is MF is the contestant Doom's answer. It's here we realize he's cleverly playing off the previous MF, Metal Fist, and flipping it to Motherfucker, which is the broken household name usually said in hostility. Having answered the question correctly, it's Doom's turn to pick the next category, selecting Men's to the End at the 2 milli or $2 million value slot. This triggers the Daily Double, a special question in which the contestant can wager any amount they'd like. The Daily Double is announced with its hallmark sound. Doom playfully mimics this with his own do-do-do-do-do, which is syllabically very close to his own name, Doom. His mastery of the Jeopardy game is then revealed as an analogy for the rap game. He continues, rappers need to fall off just to save me the trouble. Watch your own back, came in and out alone, black. Like Jeopardy, the rap game finds MCs competing for cash for the entertainment of others, each contestant going in and out alone. Rappers falling off would be them leaving the game, fading out, which Doom advises so they can avoid facing his wrath. The villainy of MF Doom seems to be highlighted in the code of watch your own back, came in and out alone, black. It's a play on the phrase born alone, die alone, with the added black describing the pitch black of death. Daniel Dumoulin, a Zevlov X and a member of KMD, did not enter the game on his own, but after Sub Rock's passing and being abandoned by the music industry, he is now. As we discussed, this isolation led to the creation of MF Doom, and thus this isolated independence and cynical lack of trust is the villain's credo. Finally, the first verse concludes with the line, stay in the zone, turn H2O to cognac. It's a play on Jesus turning water into wine, his first miracle. By positioning this reference after the existential dilemma of living and dying alone, Doom frames the line as a turn lemons into lemonade situation. By staying in the zone, focused on his music and the goals set by him and his brother, Daniel miraculously flipped his negative situation into a positive one. This biographical thread sets up Doomsday's iconic chorus.
On Doomsday, ever since the womb till I'm back where my brother went, that's what my tumor say. Right above my government, Doomalay, either unmarked or engraved, hey, who's to say? I wrote this one.
Doomsday's hook encompasses the full cycle of life, from the womb to the tomb, continuing the existential quality of the live alone, die alone idiom. The hook's quatrain is held together with another multisyllabic rhyme scheme, Doomsday, womb, tomb will say, Doomalay, and who's to say. He also tucks in a secondary three-syllable rhyme in brother went and government. Verbalizing the song and album title, Doomsday is a day owned by MF Doom. Doomsday is Doom's Day, a nefarious holiday. Specifically in the Marvel Universe, Doomsday is a national holiday in Liberia, the fictional country ruled by Dr. Doom. However, Doomsday is more commonly a nickname for the final day of the world's existence, and within the context of the hook, seems to specifically imply Daniel Dumoulin's mortality. Thus we get, ever since the womb till I'm back where my brother went. The line spans Daniel's entire life, with the word death being exchanged for a touching vision of his reunion with Sub-Rock in the afterlife. Doom talked about the dynamic between him and his brother after his passing with Hip Hop DX, saying, quote, "Anytime you lose a family member, there's a grieving period. But it's not really no different. It's just a different realm, just a different form of communication. We're all going to go to that realm eventually. As long as you know that, you can still know how to communicate with them. You just can't see them with the naked eye. The naked eye only picks up a certain spectrum of light. What else don't we see, and what side are we on? Maybe that's the right side, and we're gone," unquote. The following line, "That's what my tomb will say," was explained directly by Doom in an interview with XXL. Quote, "Really, that's like saying my word is bond. There are certain instances where you use that phrase in life. In that reference, what my tomb will say, that means word to my death. Like everything I say is justified in my heart," unquote. This authenticity expressed directly after the evocation of his brother feels special, as we sense Daniel's determination in carrying out the plans they made together. Despite the fictitious aspect of his character, the hook is revealing MF Doom comes from a place of truth and sincerity and utmost significance. The next line, right above my government, Dumoulin, of course cites Daniel's actual last name, his legal or government name, as opposed to a nickname or alias. It's another revealing moment, a blatant exposure of the identity of MF Doom. Given that the line references what's on his tombstone, Dumoulin here is also a homophone for Doom will lay, evoking the image of Doom or Daniel lying in his grave. The final line, either unmarked or engraved, "Hey, who's to say," suggests the idea of legacy. It's not the dead that decides whether they're remembered. That's up to the living. Daniel's unsure if his work will immortalize him. Remember, he wrote these words while he was broke, before he had any sense of whether Operation Doomsday or MF Doom would be a success. Daniel's humility in stating this truth feels consistent with his break in character for this chorus. We also recognize how unmarked or engraved plays on the idea of anonymity and identification, the interplay between Daniel Dumoulin and MF Doom. In all, it's a truly remarkable hook, one that in just four lines encompasses life, death, tragedy, legacy, identity, purpose, and the unknown. It is a rare glimpse of the mortal man who chose to don the mask. Indeed, if MF Doom's villainous, fictitious credo was stated in the verse, then Daniel Dumoulin's heroic, humanistic credo is stated in the hook. On Doom's expository first song on his debut album, centralizing this intersection between author and character feels strategic, advancing the villain's backstory that began in the time we faced Doom. Now, for those of you who are interested in a full line-by-line analysis of Doomsday's two remaining verses, I'll be posting that in a separate bonus episode that will accompany this one. But for now, I'd like to continue to follow this thread of Daniel and Doom's intersectional identity, as it's crucial to our understanding of the character and world we'll be exploring this season. And to do this, we're going to make a painful but necessary jump all the way to the album's end, because it's on the project's final verse of its final song, ? That Daniel quite literally takes the mask off to share the most transparent, vulnerable moment of the entire project. Yeah. Send out into the public, where your poor motherfuckers get school slammed on sight. By candlelight, my hand will write these rhymes till I'm burnt out. Mostly from experience, shit that I learned about. Topics and views generally concerned about. With different ways to coincide and earn clout. I take a look at my life and pace the trails. From top leaking savage females with fake nails to face veils. You out your frame. This final verse begins poetically. By candlelight, my hand will write these rhymes till I'm burnt out. The three-syllable rhyme candlelight and hand will write flows effortlessly, and burnt out cleverly plays on the candle motif, implying that Daniel plans to write rhymes until the wax completely melts, until he perishes. The nostalgic image of a man writing with a quill by candlelight conveys timelessness, intimacy, and authorship. It's a portrait of Daniel Dumoulin at his desk creating his art. This sets the tone for the verse to come, which is markedly different from anything heard on Operation Doomsday to this point. Daniel continues specifying what he writes about, rapping, "Mostly from experience, shit that I learned about, topics and views generally concerned about, with different ways to come up and earn clout." Conveying his life experience and passing on the wisdom he's gained is Daniel's priority. While the character MF Doom stated his theatrical mission to destroy rap, Daniel, the author, reveals the authentic intention of his art. It's a rare moment of raw transparency that begins a reflective thread that's developed further in the subsequent lines. I take a look at my life and pace the trails, from Tablic and Savage females with fake nails to face veils. As Daniel walks the trails of his life's memories, he recalls the women he's encountered, which range from religious to ratchet, from devout Muslims who wear face veils to city girls who wear long acrylic nails. After setting up the introspective theme of the verse, it continues with a slight twist, as Daniel reveals he's actually talking directly to his deceased brother.
You out your frame, but still bagging them too. You know I know, these hoes be asking me if I'm you. Like my twin brother, we did everything together. From 100 ricots and lots to copping butter leathers. Remember when you went and got the dark blue ballies? I had all the different color Kazals and Kazalis. The sub-rock three-finger ring with the ruby and the O-Ock. Truly the illest dynamic duo on the whole block. I keep a flick of you with the machete sword in your hand. Everything is going according to plan, man.
Building off his reference to religious and ratchet women, Daniel raps, "You out your frame for still bagging them too. You know I know, these hoes be asking me if I'm you. Like my twin brother, we did everything together." We understand now what Daniel is writing by candlelight is an open letter to Sub Rock, and this verse is essentially Daniel reading this letter out loud. He lovingly gives Sub Rock shit about his promiscuity before mentioning their likeness and how inseparable they were. It's another raw moment of vulnerability plainly stated. No clever wordplay, no hidden references, just pure, sincere sentiment. Daniel goes on to describe the kinds of things they did together, from 100 rakat salats to copping butter leathers. This continues the brothers' fluidity inhabiting both the religious and urban worlds. 100 rakat salats refers to Islamic prayer, a nod to Daniel and Sub Rock being practicing Muslims in their formative years. A memory of this time can be seen on the back of the Operation Doomsday album art, which features a large photo of the two as teenagers wearing religious garb. Meanwhile, butter leathers refers to tan leather Timberland boots. The diverse range of activities, from religious practice to hip-hop fashion, displays how inseparable the brothers were. They truly did everything together. He continues, "Remember when you went and got the dark blue ballies? I had all the different color gazelles and gazelles." Daniel asking Sub a question here is heartbreakingly sweet. The purity of these formative years is clear, as Daniel nostalgically remembers him and Sub purchasing trendy clothes to emulate their hip-hop heroes. Specifically, he cites Bally shoes, which were iconically sported by MC Dougie Fresh and Slick Rick on their respective album covers. Meanwhile, Gazals and Gazalis refers to the large, chunky glasses that were a staple in b-boy fashion and famously worn by Spike Lee and Run DMC's Daryl McDaniels. Now, Daniel remembering his shopping sprees with Sub Rock on the album's final verse presents an interesting link with the album's first verse. Recall that Doomsday begins with the line, "I used to cop a lot, but never cop no drop." The past tense, "I used to cop," denotes reflection on past behavior. Now, here at the album's end, we're provided further details about this time. Turns out that Daniel used to cop a lot with his brother, butter leather, ballets, gazals, and gazalis. We thus discover a beautiful, full-circle moment, as Operation Doomsday both starts and ends in memory of Sub Rock. Daniel continues, "The Sub Rock three-finger ring with the ruby and the O, Ak." Daniel's punctuation of Ak is an abbreviation for the Arabic word for brother. And the ring he describes can actually be seen on Sub Rock's fingers during his cameo in Third Base's The Gas Face video, meaning Sub had it at least since 1989, when he was 16 years old. The next line, "truly the illest dynamic duo on the whole block," positions Sub and Doom as superheroes, likening their supernatural chemistry and flyness to the original dynamic duo Batman and Robin. Sub Rock's superhero weapon of choice was a large machete sword, which according to numerous accounts, he often kept on him. We thus get the penultimate line, "I keep a flick of you with the machete sword in your hand." In the video for Question Mark, we see this black and white photograph exactly as described, Sub Rock wielding a 2-foot-long machete with both hands. Directly after this photo, the video cuts to a shot of Daniel sitting on a park bench next to a bottle of Jack Daniels. Up until this point in the video, Daniel had been wearing the Doom mask, but now the mask lies next to Sub Rock's machete and a pair of butter leather Timberlands on the ground below him. In this memory of his brother, Daniel is maskless, the only time he's ever taken off the mask in a Doom video. His face is still concealed, only now it's concealed by his own hand wiping away his tears. Moments later, there's a shot of Daniel throwing the machete up into the air, symbolically passing it to his brother in the heavens. It's an incredibly moving moment, as we feel the weight of Daniel's loss and his efforts to keep the memory of Sub Rock alive through his art. Finally, Daniel closes his open letter with a statement of assurance. "Everything is going according to plan, man." Here we need to recall Daniel's words about the crossroads he faced in the wake of Sub's passing, and how KRS-One inspired him to continue fulfilling the plans that the brothers made together. Quote, "I had to stay focused. The goals that me and my brother set, they still had to be met. It was up to me. KRS showed us that you persevere, you keep going, you strive, and you do it, unquote. In Doom's interview with Jeff Mao, he revealed that part of the plans the brothers concocted together actually included MF Doom.
Yeah, see, right after we finished the album Black Bastards, even while we was working on Black Bastards, me and Sub were both going to do solo records respectively. So I was going to do the Doom thing since back then. And he was going to come out with his joint as another character, you know. And really, I just continued on with the ideas I had in my head. And I developed the Doom character and developed the songs and more of the concept around the character.
Daniel's final line on Operation Doomsday resounds louder in light of this revelation, that MF Doom was part of the plans Daniel and Sub Rock made all the way back in 1992. In this way, the completion and release of Operation Doomsday some 7 years later is the fulfillment of the goals they set together. The album itself is proof of its own final words, that everything is going according to plan, man. While one half of the illest dynamic duo may be gone, the legacy of Sub Rock lives on through the art of his brother. It calls to mind the conclusive line of Doomsday's hook, either unmarked or engraved, "Hey, who's to say?" If the living are responsible for the remembrance of the dead, then Daniel, through MF Doom, ensures that Sub Rock's memory remains forever engraved. The humanity endearment felt in Operation Doomsday's final verse commands empathy for the villain. There's always a man behind the mask, and most often that man is scarred. The mask, then, can be viewed as a symbol of trauma and protection from future trauma. When viewed in this light, the very concept of a villain becomes blurred. It's no surprise that Daniel then chooses to follow his heartfelt open letter to Sub Rock with the album's conclusive track, Hero vs. Villain, where feature artist E. Mason delivers a spoken word piece centered on the ambiguity between the two.
What's the hero? Who's the villain? Dead or living?
Doom.
Kill or killing? Who the fuck's you remain chilling?
Doom.
Webster says, wicked and evil, but yo, who's Webster? Annihilation and outcast equals freedom and surpass.
Hero vs. Villain is labeled as Operation Doomsday's epilogue. Traditionally, epilogues occur at the end of a novel or play after the main story has concluded. Often they explicitly express the story's intended moral lesson. This is clearly the function of Doomsday's epilogue, as E. Mason calls into question our concepts of heroes and villains. He begins, "What's the hero? Who's the villain? Dead or living? Killed or killing? Who the fuck should remain chillin'?" Webster says wicked and evil, but who's Webster? E. Mason questioning Webster's dictionary here exemplifies the central point of his spoken word piece. He's interrogating the authority of those who decide and define the villains in any given society. If one is deemed a villain in a corrupt or bigoted society, are they actually a villain? The racial implication seems clear. It reminds us of what Daniel told The Wire about the MF Doom character, quote, "From the point of view of America, we're the villains, but I'm the supervillain. Out here it's been so desensitized. I had to figure out a way to get the point across and still make it interesting, or make it seem like a race thing," unquote. Also interwoven into hero versus villain is a secondary theme of independence in regards to personal expression and identity. Midway through the piece, Mason says, "Fools rush in, they don't know the yin from the yang, and are ashamed to deviate or act sane from the norm. They're slaves, forced to conform. To really find your essence, take this as a lesson. Break away from the rest of them. Get from the form ending, like the villain in the song, find truth." This command to find truth like the villain in the song is a direct call to action. It offers MF Doom and Operation Doomsday as a model for independent thought and expression, even when doing so may oppose the status quo and make you an outcast or villain. This is felt in MF Doom's rejection of trendy rap stereotypes, in his use of quirky cartoon samples and vernacular, in his lack of catchy hooks and atypical song structures, in his rugged, unrefined recording techniques, in his decision to wear pantyhose over his face or a spray-painted plastic Toys R Us mask. Through his unwavering commitment to his unique, sometimes bizarre creative intuition, Daniel, as E. Mason stated, broke away from the rest and found his truth, and in doing so, birthed one of the most enduring, iconic characters in hip-hop history.
Who's the hero? What's the villain? The question still remains chilling. Listen to the music. Try very hard to use it. Open up and research. And that's the end of this verse.
At the end of his piece, E. Mason returns to the same questions he began with, saying, quote, "Who's the hero? What's the villain? The question still remains chillin'. Listen to the music, try very hard to use it. Open up and research, and that's the end of this verse." Once again, we are called to action, as it's implied that the answer to the central questions, who's the hero, what's the villain, is found in the music if we choose to use it. This is strategically followed by the final moments of the album, where much like its beginning, a collage of samples reveal key thematic and narrative information when, as E. Mason said, we open up and research.
So like, fuck you, fuck the newspaper, fuck all that shit, man, I'm leaving.
Daniel returns to the film Wild Style that was sampled at the beginning of Operation Doomsday. Recall it was there we heard a debate about whether graffiti artist Raymond should do an interview that would reveal his face and identity. In the album's intro, Raymond's decision is left as a cliffhanger, and now at the album's end, his decision to blow off the interview is revealed. Like Doom, he remains independent. Like Doom, he remains anonymous. Like Doom, he remains loyal to himself. These sentiments are then echoed in Operation Doomsday's final moments, where an entirely new sample source is introduced.
Right?
Yeah.
So like, fuck you.
Do yourself a favor. Do yourself.
A voice says, Doom wears body armor to conceal his own mangled form, right? Another voice responds, yeah. The first voice returns saying, do yourself a favor. Do yourself. Trust me, true believer. And then the album ends. Now, when we open up and research this conclusive voice, we discover that it's none other than the creator of Dr. Doom and the Marvel Universe, Stan Lee. The conversation is lifted from Mallrats, a 1995 movie in which an obsessive comic book lover named Brody has his heart broken by a girl. He runs into his hero, Stan Lee, at the mall, and Stan gives him advice based on his own experience with heartbreak.
Well, what'd you do? I went on with my life. I created some special new superheroes. They were characters that reflected my own heartbreak and my own regrets.
How so?
Dr. Doom wears body armor to conceal his own mangled form, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That was me beneath the armor.
So you created each character as a way to deal with your one big regret?
Yeah, the girl that got away. Look, do yourself a favor, Brody. Don't wait, because all the money, all the women, even all the comic books in the world, they can't substitute for that one person.
Like the Wild Style samples, like Sade's Kiss of Life and Boogie Down Productions, the full context of the Mallrats sample reveals critical information that deepens our understanding of MF Doom and Daniel Dumoulin. Stan Lee's perspective is repurposed as Daniel's own, moving on with his life after losing a loved one, finding solace in creativity, developing fictional characters that serve as vehicles of self-expression. I mean, just listen to these quotes from Stan Lee and Daniel Dumoulin back to back. They're nearly identical.
I went on with my life. I created some special new superheroes.
So the way I dealt with it, I just kept it moving. You know what I mean? And really, I just continued on with the ideas I had in my head. And I developed the Doom character and developed the songs and more of the concept around the character.
The parallels between Stan's full monologue and Daniel's real life reveal just how masterful the conclusion of Operation Doomsday truly is. Stan Lee is the creator of Dr. Doom and the Marvel Universe, just as Daniel Dumoulin is the creator of MF Doom and the Doom Universe. In this way, we are hearing directly from the men behind the mask, the human beings beneath the cartoon characters, the truth that inspired fiction. It is the author's signature placed at the end of their work. And just as Stan Lee imparted wisdom to Brody, his audience, Daniel Dumoulin imparts wisdom to his audience at the end of Operation Doomsday. Because when we take a closer look at Lee's final words on the album, we discover that Daniel actually alters Lee's dialogue in order to express the parting philosophy of the entire album. Here's the original as it appears in the film.
Do yourself a favor, Brody. Don't wait.
And now here's Daniel's flip.
Do yourself a favor. Do yourself.
Once again, Daniel is speaking through samples as much as he is speaking through his lyrics. This is one of Daniel Dumoulin's musical superpowers. He bends Stan Lee's quote to state his own credo, do yourself a favor, do yourself, leaving listeners with a resounding message of independence and self-confidence.
Well, a wise man once said, do you. And that's what he told me. The nigga said, you know what I mean? Yo, do you. I'm like, do you? You know, I knew what he meant. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't grasp what he said till maybe a year later. You know, like, that was like the wisest statement I heard out of any book or anything I ever read. Do you. Be yourself. And that's the best thing you could do
for anything that's just that surrounds you.
This is Daniel Dumoulin's final message to his audience, and it's hardly the message of a traditional villain. Indeed, while the surface-level reading of Daniel's personal journey and return to destroy rap through MF Doom is a fun, theatrical interpretation of Operation Doomsday, what we've discovered in our brief survey of the album is that the real story is, at its core, deeply human. Like Stan Lee, Daniel Dumoulin understood the potential of comic book characters to relate timeless human truths and emotions. Masterfully blurring the lines between good and evil, Operation Doomsday tells the classic story of a man that transformed tragedy into triumph, a hero's journey into villainy.
I was just kind of pondering the whole shit. Of course, every day you think about the shit like, okay, how can I do this? How can I come back? How can I? It's really out of creativity. And creativity comes from a love vibration. So I really can't, it's hard to think negatively and hit the creative stream of energy field that I hit. So really, it came out of just creativity, right? But then inside that creativity, it just so happened to be like, yo, wouldn't it be funny if I did it like this? So it's really just it's like a funny spoof or stab back at it, but it's not really out of anger. The so-called bad guy or the villain, he's always the underdog, you know, and a few people speak for the underdog. You know, it's usually people speaking for the whoever the winner is, or the cool guy, or, you know, like, oh, I want to be like him. See, nobody really wants to be like the loser, but some people might feel like, man, I feel like a loser today. There's a lot, everybody basically has these feelings. So what the super villain does, it speaks for the people who feel like that. And it shows you how you could, yo, if you feel like that, then you can get out of that. Here's the path out.
Operation Doomsday is a landmark album in the history of hip hop. As the inaugural offering from MF Doom, the album established the villain as an underground icon whose unique talent of executing carefully considered concept work with a DIY ethos and aesthetic would become an aspirational model for generations of artists to come. And there was one underground artist in particular that heard Operation Doomsday back in 99 and immediately felt a creative kinship with Doom, compelling him to reach out to Doom directly.
Yeah, I got a call one day from Peanut Butter Wolf. He mentioned his cat Madlib. I wasn't familiar with his work at the time. But I guess he heard some of my stuff and he was reaching out to me so that we could do a record together, like, you know, and want to give me some beats and whatnot. We had the same kind of vision and how we did records. The same, you know, real similar. You know, still unique though. He had his unique style. That's really how it started. He reached out. Ever since then, that's been my man. You know what I mean?
Living off borrowed time, the clock tick faster. That'll be the hour they knock the slick blaster.
Famed producer Madlib's phone call to MF Doom would eventually birth another classic project, 2004's Mad Villainy. An album we'll begin to dissect note by note, line by line, next time on Dissect. Today's episode of Dissect was written by Camden Ostrander and me, Cole Kushner. If you enjoyed the episode, please tell a friend about the new season or share on social media tagging @DissectPodcast. It really helps. Additional production assistance by Justin Sales. Audio editing by Kevin Pooler. Theme music by Bureaucratic. All right, thanks everyone. Talk to you next week.